There may be sporting events that take place on the Lord's Day that we say, well, I'd rather stay at home and watch the sporting event. Or there may be activities that we're taking part in that are not what a Christian should be taking part in. The topic of this morning's sermon is, are you keeping yourself? You would take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy 5:22. 1 Timothy 5:22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. 1 Timothy 5:22. We see here this scripture tells us that we need to keep ourselves pure. There is no one on the face of the earth that's alive today that is perfect. But we need to be striving and working every day to achieve this perfection, even though we may not ever achieve it. We need to constantly be striving for it. It is a big job to keep ourselves, and we are commanded to do it. 1 Timothy 4:16. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 1 Timothy 4:16. Each should think of self and ask, is it I? I want you to think back to when Jesus told the 12 that one of them would betray him. And what did each one of the 12 start asking? Lord, is it I? Because none of them knew. They all wondered. They all questioned. There are many things to do in order to keep oneself. We need to keep ourselves out of the business of others. Keep ourselves out of other men's matters. 1 Peter 4:15. 1 Peter 4:15. You know, this is a problem that many today have. They don't think about their own business. They want to be in other people's business. 1 Peter 4:15 says, but let none of you suffer as murderers or as thieves or as evildoers or as busybody in other men's matters. 1 Peter 4:15. This scripture here tells us that we don't need to be busybodies in other people's matters. We have all we can do to run our own business. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:11. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. And that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. We see here two scriptures that the Bible tells us that we need to be taking care of our own selves and staying out of other people's business. We need to keep ourselves out of God's business. It was God's business to give us the statutes and the scriptures. And he did the perfect job. If man had got his hand into this, we would have fouled it up something fierce. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. It is man's business to keep the scriptures. We have the scriptures. We need to be opening them daily and reading them. and proving ourselves. We talked about it in Bible class this morning about the fact that there are people in other denominations that they don't always go by the scriptures. They say, well, my preacher says. So what if your preacher says? Let's see what the scriptures say, because the scriptures is what's going to judge each and every one of us. I can tell everyone in this room that no matter what you do today, you're going to go to heaven. But who am I? I am nobody. I'm an ordinary man, an ordinary human being, just like each and every one of you. But if you know how you're living your life, and you open the scriptures, and you see how you are to live your life, and if you're not living your life that way, it doesn't matter what Sam Carman's going to tell you about the condition of your life and your soul. We need to keep thy heart with all diligence. The heart mentioned is the heart of the spiritual man. It is the heart that is the source of conduct. Every deed is first committed in the heart. I want you to think about most people that commit robbery, commit murder, commit adultery. Where does it start first? It starts in their spiritual heart, or in their mental heart, so to speak. They think about it first. We need to keep the heart and be willing always to make it pure. Keeping the heart will keep one from adultery. Matthew 5:28. Matthew 5:28. But I say unto you, and this is Jesus speaking here, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Matthew 5:28. So where did that start? It started in the heart. They were thinking about it before they ever meant to commit it. And Jesus says here that if you think about it, you've already committed it. Murder's the same way, and all other sins, including the sin of dispensation, which are more commonly hypocritical. Big-headedness. How many people have the sin of thinking, I'm the greatest person on the face of the earth. There's nobody better than I am. We're nobodies. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What about selfishness? I'm not giving to the Lord this week. I need all the money I can keep in my pocket so I can go buy me that new four-wheeler. I've already got it picked out. Got cup holders on it. It's nice. It's got saddlebags on it, little places to hold stuff. So I can't give to the Lord this week. I got to save up for that four-wheeler. What about envy? Oh, I like what he's got. I'm going to get me that. I got to get that. And what about forgiveness? A lot of times we have trouble forgiving other people, but we want other people to forgive us. And most of all, we want the Lord to forgive us. But we're not willing to forgive other people. I don't care what somebody does to you. You need to be willing to forgive them. I talked to someone just this week, and they were talking about, oh, so-and-so did this to me. Oh, I just don't know that I can forgive them. I said, well, I want you to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about what the human race did to him, and he was still willing to forgive them. If anybody on the face of the earth that had ever lived, it would have been Jesus Christ that said, I'm through with the human race. I wash my hands of them. I don't want to have anything to do with them. But he was willing to forgive us. So we need to be willing to forgive. The next thing is we need to keep our mouths with a bridle. We must take heed lest we enter into gossip. Most of y'all have heard me tell the story about my stepmother. Oh, this was one of the things she loved to do. She'd hear something, and boy, she'd be all over telling about it. And I was bad about getting on to her about it. I could be somewhere, we'd be at a potluck, and I could hear her all the way across the room start talking about somebody, and I'd go, and I'd hear her stop in mid-sentence, and she'd look at me, and she never would say another word. We don't need to be gossiping. Gossiping is something that goes against the commandments. This will not keep us pure when we're out there gossiping. And what about talking hastily speaking? Turn over to James 1:19. James 1:19. Wherefore, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. James 1:19. Most of us are just the opposite of this. We don't hear what people say, and we are fast to talk. We want to talk. Most of the time, if you hear a conversation that's got four or five people there in a group, there'll be four or five people all talking at the same time. We need to be slow to speak and quick to hear. If we want good days, we need to do certain things. Turn over to 1 Peter 3:10. 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they may speak no guile. 1 Peter 3:10. Brothers and sisters, I want good days. I don't know about you, but I want good days. I want to love life, and in order doing so, we got to watch our tongues and speak no guile. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was a man who no guile came out of his mouth. The next, I need to keep under my body and bring it into subjection. You know, we talk about homosexuality. It's a sin, plain and simple. The Bible condemns it over and over and over. And people say, well, that's the way God made me. I don't believe that. Whatever our choice for things to do, for the lust of the flesh, we need to keep under control. I tell people it's no different from me going out and chasing women all the time. That would be a sin and abomination to God. Turn over to 1 Peter 2:11. 1 Peter 2:11. It says, abstain from fleshly lust, which warreth against the soul. 1 Peter 2:11. The works of the flesh go against the soul. You know, when we do the things of the flesh, they are the things, or such things, that shall not make us to inherit the kingdom of God. So we need to abstain from them. The Christian must do this lest he be lost. 1 Corinthians 9:27. 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I should myself be cast away. 1 Corinthians 9:27 tells us here that we got to keep our body in subjection. Regardless of what it is, whether it's cussing, whether it's drinking alcohol, whether it's smoking, fornicating, adultery, whatever. We need to keep this body in subjection. If we can't do that, we're not keeping ourselves pure. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. God has always legislated against idolatry. Excessive love or veneration for anything is idolatry. There are many forms of idolatry. For instance, image worship. Turn over to Exodus 20 and verse 4. Exodus 20 and verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Exodus 20 and verse 4. The first two commandments of the Ten Commandments are, number one, no other God before me. And number two, not make any graven image. That's the first two commandments of the Ten Commandments. You know, I was thinking about this while I was writing this. A lot of churches, and when I say churches, I'm talking about denominations, but I've seen Catholic services on TV where they have a crucifix with an image of Jesus on it. Hey, is this not a form of idolatry when they're worshiping this? Because right here in this verse, in Exodus 20, verse 4, it says, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. I've seen them carry a Madonna with a baby Jesus in her arms, and they worship these things. We don't need to be worshiping these things. What about hero worship? Hero worship is a form of idolatry. You know, I understand young girls when there's some famous rock singer or something, and they, oh, so-and-so's on TV tonight. I remember when the Beatles first came to America, and they were on the Ed Sullivan Show, and there's all these girls screaming and hollering out in the crowd and fainting. And, oh, they were just all just... So, this is idolatry worship, because it's hero worship. What about pleasure worship? You know, what about eating and drinking and then getting up to play? Because we all are consumed with pleasure worship. This is a form of idolatry. Covetousness or mammon worship. This is money. How many people, that's their sole purpose here on this earth, is to make money? If they could work 7 days a week and they didn't have to sleep and could work 24 hours a day so they could get every piece of money that was on the face of the earth, they would be working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Is this going to get them into heaven? No, it's not. This is idolatry worship. They have turned money into their idol. What about self-worship? There are people out there that think they are the greatest person on the face of the earth. I read an article one day where the individual that wrote this article said that Jesus and I were the only two perfect people on the face of the earth. I said, how can anybody make that statement? Because no one, the Bible tells us, no one was perfect except for Jesus Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Turn over to Philippians 3, 18 through 19. Philippians 3, 18 through 19. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, whose mind earthly things, Philippians 3:18-19, we cannot have self-worship. If we're worshiping ourselves, then we've turned ourselves into an idol. Next, we need to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. The religion that is written about in the Bible is pure and unspotted religion. The reason that it is not in some denominations is because man has made it impure and made it spotted. We need to watch in order to keep one from becoming a stumbling block. Turn over to Romans 14:13. Romans 14:13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. Romans 14:13. We need to make sure that we are doing it the Christian way so that we don't cause other people to stumble. What if you said, well, Brother Sam, you know, I don't see anything wrong with having a little alcohol with my meal. Say you're out eating in a restaurant and you're drinking an alcoholic beverage, and someone walks by your table and sees those alcoholic beverages there and says, well, Brother so-and-so thinks it's all right to drink. Hey, bring the liquor on. Bring it on. It causes them to stumble. We need to be making sure that everything we do is in accordance with God's commandments. A spotted soul is an occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Turn over to 2 Samuel 12:14. 2 Samuel 12:14. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. And this is because they see us doing things that we don't need to be doing, using language that we don't need to be using. We need to be keeping self sound in the faith. It has always been a problem to keep the church sound in the faith. Turn over to Galatians 1:6-7. Galatians 1:6-7. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Galatians 1:6-7. You know, the gospel is pure today as it was in the first century. The only reason it has been diluted or made impure is because of man's influence on it. Because man has got in and tried to change it to make it say what he wants it to say. Apostasy is a gradual thing, so gradual that many fail to even detect it. You know, things that happen just happen gradually. I've talked about this, about the fact that when people start leaving the church, they usually don't do it all at once. They miss and they come back for a couple of Sundays, and then they miss a couple of Sundays, and they're back for another Sunday, and then they miss a month and maybe back for another Sunday. Next thing you know, 6 months have gone by, a year gone by, 5 years gone by, 10 years have gone by, and they hadn't been to church. But we need to be on top of this. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. And this is still talking about apostasy. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall turn unto fables. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. Why is this? Because a lot of people don't like what the Bible says. They like what they hear people say, and they say, I'm going over here to this church because they'll let me dance and they'll let me drink and they'll let me do all these things that the Bible condemns. We need to be on top of it. Each should have his senses exercised to discern good and evil. Turn over to Hebrews 5:14. Hebrews 5:14. We kind of talked about this a little bit this morning in class. We each and every one of us need to take a strong concern with this and make this part of our everyday life. Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 5:14. How do you know the difference in good and evil? It's right here in the Bible. All you have to do is open the Bible and study the Bible, and you will know what is right and what is wrong. Amen. There are a lot of people out there that they're kind of ashamed when they talk to you. And a lot of reason they're ashamed is because they're doing stuff they know they shouldn't be doing. And I've said this before. I can still hear my daddy's voice in my head today saying, boy, if you're doing something that you're ashamed of, you don't need to be doing it. We as Christians do not need to be doing something we're ashamed of. We need to keep ourselves in the unity and the fellowship of other Christians. Because if we do this, we can stay strong. I've tried to convey this to our young people. You know, if you young people run around with other Christian young people, you're not going to be as tempted to be drinking, using language you shouldn't be using, being caught in situations you don't need to be caught in. Because when we are in the fellowship with other Christians, it is a pleasant thing. Turn over to Psalms 133:1. Psalms 133:1. Behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalms 133:1. We are strong and we are united when we all stand together in the Word of the Lord, in the Scriptures. It is something for which Christ prayed for. Now turn over to John 17:20-21. John 17:20-21. And this is Jesus speaking here. Neither pray I these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the word may believe that thou hast sent us, the world may believe that thou hast sent us. John 17:20-21. How can we be in God and in Christ if we're not unified as one another in Christ? If we are not unified in the Word of God? God hates the sower of discord among brethren. You know, it don't take much to plant that seed of discord. And what happens when we plant that seed of discord and it comes up? It's like having a weed in the garden. It's no good and it may cause plants to die. You know, the tells us in the Bible we reap what we sow. If we reap sow bad things, we're going to reap bad things. If we sow good Christian things, we're going to reap good Christian things. We need to keep ourselves in the love of God. He loved us while we were yet sinners. Turn over to Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. But God commended his love towards us, that in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. I thank God every day that he did. Because I could only tell you where I would be today if he hadn't. I would be in a state that's 10 times worse than the worst sinner on the face of this earth. God's love provided a spear of salvation.